Well, for those of you who are tuned in this morning, let me say thank you for being here. Let me also say that I need you to take a minute or so and get on your device, your smartphone, and I need you to contact members in your small group and say, hey, Pastor Kevin's fixing to talk to me about how I can discover that living hope in Christ in the middle of this crisis. And so I need you to get on your phone and I need you to contact your small group people through text message and say, we need you to log on right now so that we as a body of believers can hear God's word together. Would you take a minute and do that? I read an article in Church Leader magazine this week, and there was a sentence that leapt out at me and really kind of hit me hard. It said, the sad reality is that many Christians are unfit and spiritually out of shape because they are spiritually undisciplined. I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I've come to some conclusions about where we want to go today in talking about this concept of futility in our spiritual journey. Paul referred to it as beating against the wind or shadow boxing. But today I want to offer you hope and encouragement that if you've made a conscious decision to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, then Christ is in you. And if Christ is in you, you don't have to shadow box. If Christ is in you, you don't have to live an exercise of futility. But the truth is, nobody drifts into spiritual discipline. Nobody drifts into being a disciple. Just as an undisciplined athlete becomes sluggish and soft, so does an undisciplined Christian become sluggish and weak and ineffective. This is why Paul instructed Timothy to have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, but rather to train yourself to be godly. He told Timothy, godliness means you got to go into training. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life that is to come. Being a disciplined disciple has blessings both in this life and in the life that is to come. But our training, our disciplines, have to be meaningful. They have to be practical if they're going to be effective. And in Romans 8, Paul talks about these practical disciplines, these practical training methods, these practical things to keep us from the shadow boxing that Paul talks about in chapter 7. In chapter 7, he talks about beating the air and the things of life that kept him exhausted. He talks about his futility, trying to get strong spiritually, but doing so in his own human efforts. These are the things that kept him exhausted and overexerted in futility because he tries to overcome them in his own strength. We talked about these things last week. Shame and humanness and compulsion and fear and hopelessness and self-destruction. And in his exhaustion at the end of chapter 7, he cries out, who can help me? He wants to know, how can I be free from me? Because he realizes that he's his biggest problem. How can I be free from me? In the last verse of chapter 7, he says, thank God. The answer is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. I need you to understand this morning that you cannot come to Christ fully until you come to the end of yourself finally. You can't come to Christ fully until you come to the end of yourself finally. But once you have made that decision, once you have decided to believe in and belong to Christ, that's when we look at chapter 8 in the book of Romans. And what glorious context chapter 8 has for us. Once you've come to Christ, I want you to hear what Paul says. Once you answer the question, who can help me be free from me? Thank God. Through Jesus Christ, He's the starting point. And when Jesus Christ is the starting point, and when you finally come to the end of you, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Why is there now no condemnation? Well, because before you were in you trying to do it on your own and you were outside of Christ and you were condemned. Because the wages of sin is death. but the gift of God is eternal life. And when you come to the end of you and you make that conscious choice to place your life into the care of Jesus Christ, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You've made a conscious choice to be in Christ. Because it's through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life is set me free, and the law of sin is death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met, look at the word, in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Now, I've made a conscious choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, and now I am not under condemnation. I am now in Christ, and Christ is now in me through the presence of His Spirit. So what disciplines do I put in practice to keep those things alive and fruitful and effervescing in my spiritual journey? Let me give you two today. We'll talk about some more in the coming weeks. The first is daily I need to reestablish my commitment to Christ as His disciple. Every day when you wake up, before your feet even swing off to the side of the bed and make it to the floor, you need to have this conscious moment of prayer where you recommit yourself to Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about being born again. I'm talking about saying, Jesus, back in the day, for me it was October the 11th, 1984. On October the 11th, 1984, I made a conscious decision to believe in and to belong to You. On that day, I chose to be Your disciple. And today, this morning, August the 16th, before my feet ever hit the ground, I recommit to that decision that I made all those years ago. I'm going to be Your disciple today. The world's coming at me with ugly. The news is coming at me with ugly. The virus is coming at me with ugly. The hurricane season is coming at me with ugly. But today, I decide to recommit to You today, just like I did on October the 11th, 1984. The same power and the same passion whereby I made that decision back then, I recommit myself to that today. Because I want to be in You, because You are in me, and now I am no longer under condemnation. There's the starting point. Every day I have to remind myself of what Jesus did for me. Every day I need to go back to that moment on October the 11th, 1984, and remember the brokenness I had. Or I sat at that breakfast table and wept over my shame because I'd been trying so hard to do it all on my own. Oh, I was religious. Oh, I was good at doing what the church wanted me to do. Oh, but there was an emptiness inside that could not be fathomed or comprehended. And when the light finally clicked, and when I finally decided, wait a minute, I've been trying to do this all based on me. It's not about me, it's about You. And on that moment, I traded in my religion for a relationship. And as the poet said, and that has made all the difference. We have lots of people who are, I believe, genuinely born again, but they just don't act like it. They're believers, but they've not been set free from themselves because they don't wake up every day and go, I recommit to the commitment that I made back at XYZ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. If you are in Christ, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. You need to remember that today you are not condemned. You are not condemned. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are not condemned. This whole passage is talking about people who have given their life to Christ. If you have not given your life to Christ, it does not apply to you. If you have not made that initial choice to understand who Jesus was and what Jesus did and how you were a sinner and how He died to forgive you of those sins, then you are still under condemnation, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be. But when you come to the end of yourself, and when you realize that sin is your greatest life struggle, and when you realize that you can place your faith and hope and trust in the work that Jesus Christ did, not only on the cross, but more importantly, through the empty tomb, you can stand with great confidence and go, now I am no longer under condemnation. Let me encourage you this morning and let you know that just because you come to Christ doesn't mean that you're never going to sin again. Sin is a part of the human condition. As long as you're in this human body, sin is going to be a part of who you are. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he not only paid for all of the sins you committed last week and last year and your entire life, but he died for the sins that you're going to commit today, and he died for the sins that you're going to commit for the rest of your life. The difference is that now you are not under condemnation of those sins, and the opportunity for forgiveness of those sins is there if you simply ask, according to 1 John. That's good news. That's what no condemnation looks like. But grace and forgiveness is yours every single day. Daily reestablishing my commitment to Christ is necessary for a spiritual discipline practice to know the joy of what it means to stand up and say, I am not condemned. But there's something else that comes with this daily reestablishment and this daily commitment to Christ that you make. And that is, you can with confidence not only stand and say, today I am not condemned, but you can also stand up and say, today I have a reliable new power source. You see, in Romans chapter 7, Paul is exhausted because Paul was trying to live his life in his own willpower. And in Romans chapter 7, he says, look, here's a whole bunch of things I don't want to do. Guess what? I do them anyway. And here's a whole bunch of things I know that Jesus wants me to do, but guess what? I find myself not doing them. Why? Because Paul's shadow boxing. He's beating the air. He's trying to do it in his own strength. He's trying to do it out of his own willpower. And if you're trying to live the Christian life in your own willpower, it's not going to work. It's not going to work because Christianity is counterintuitive to a godless culture. It's counterintuitive to a godless culture. And the godless culture is going to come after you with everything they have. And you can't pretend for very long. But we read in Romans that there's a new power source. I don't have to depend on me anymore. You see, the law is powerless. The law is powerless. If you determine that in your own strength and in your will, you're going to live out the law in your own strength, you're not going to make it. First of all, you don't have the willpower to do that. And second of all, even if you keep this to every jot and every tittle, it is still insignificant. It's not enough, because it still doesn't make you perfect. It still doesn't make you pure. Jesus is the rationale for that. Jesus is the anchor for that. So the law is powerless to do that and is weakened by sinful nature. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. You want to meet the righteous requirements of the law? It starts by believing in and belonging to the sin offering of Jesus Christ. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, look how it ends, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. There's a new power source. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians are simply relying on their own willpower to change. They haven't figured out how to connect to spiritual power, into the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't come through a bunch of noise. You need to understand that. The Scripture says that it comes with a still, small voice. There's a new power that is in you. You are in Christ, and no longer under condemnation. And now Christ is in you. He sends you the presence of his Holy Spirit. You've got a partner. You've got a helper. You've got a wonderful counselor. You have access to a mighty God. You have access to a heavenly Father. You've been granted this because of the Prince of Peace. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus makes this statement about taking my yoke upon you. He calls us into partnership. He calls us to strap ourselves into the working implement so that we can learn from Him. He wants to teach us. He said, I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It almost seems like a conundrum. Wait a minute. I'm going to find rest for my soul by humbling myself and taking up the plowing instrument to be trained and disciplined and discipled by you. Yeah. The scripture is full of paradox. The last shall be first. The slave shall be free. The poor shall be rich. But Romans starts out by saying, I'm not condemned. Romans 8, I am not condemned. Wake up every morning and make that recommitment and that reconnection to Jesus Christ and go, thank you, Jesus, that I am not condemned today. And thank you, Jesus, that in recommitting myself to you and to your will and to your kingdom and to your purpose, I don't have to live in that on my own. I have a power source inside of me from you. You're really serious about changing your life for the better, then you have to start where God tells you to start. You have to start in your mind. The battle for you to be set free from me starts by changing your mind. Later in Romans, Paul's going to tell the readers of the letter that very thing. It starts by a renewed mind. And when your mind is renewed, then your spirit can be changed. A changed mind starts with new mercies every single morning. Do you understand that every day of your life is a do-over? Every day of your life when you wake up, you get a chance again to reconnect to the Christ who saved you and to thank Him that you are not condemned and to tap in to the new power source that lives within you. That's what new mercies look like. It's important every morning to wake up and to reestablish your commitment to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. That way, you're not shadow boxing. That way, you're not living a life of futility. You're living a life on purpose. But Romans 4 through 8 talk to us about the how-to with the Holy Spirit. We have this power source, but daily I need to acknowledge the Holy Spirit for better thought process, for a better thought life. If I'm going to renew my mind, then the Holy Spirit has to help me in this endeavor. Again, we're taking the yoke of Christ and we're learning from Him through the impressions of the Holy Spirit that come to us as we seek to be obedient and as we seek answers and as we seek to live according to the way He wants us to live. Verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There are two kinds of mindsets. There's the mindset of your old nature and your lazy nature and your sad spiritual condition. Or there's the mindset of, I am not condemned and I have a new power source and I'm going to tap into that Holy Spirit today. There's the mindset of the way I normally think, or there's the mindset about the way the Spirit thinks. Which one's going to be true? Your mindset or the Spirit's mindset? Am I going to set my mind on the ways I normally think? Or am I going to seek God and how He thinks about my life? And did you notice the big difference in choosing one of these mindsets? If you're going to choose how you respond, you're going to get a different reaction. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. For the mind is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For the mind that is set on the flesh does not submit to God's laws. Why? Because it cannot. But the mind that is set on the Spirit is life and is peace. We all know somebody who's gotten mad at God. Maybe you've even gotten mad at God from time to time. And we've gotten mad at him because we want him to use his powers to make our bad situations go away. Or we've wanted him to wave his magic wand and make things just all peace and tranquility in our life. And when he doesn't do that, we just throw our hands in there and go, pfft. I knew he couldn't be trusted. I knew he would let me down, just like everybody else. That's because we're setting our minds on what we believe is best for us and not letting the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and bring us to a place of peace. Since I can't trust God, I'll do my own thing. And when I do my own thing, I usually get in trouble. I usually wind up exhausted because I'm shadow boxing. Satan, or the world, or your own depravity is going to give you your own ideas. That's called temptation. When the Holy Spirit gives you ideas, that's called inspiration. Problem is, we need to figure out how to know which one we're listening to. The Holy Spirit's never going to draw you to something that is outside the parameters of Holy Scripture. You will. The truth is, you and I get to choose what we focus on. But if you are a believer, then there is no condemnation. Because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. And though you used to be condemned, you are not anymore. And you have a new power source. The voice of the Holy Spirit. The still small voice of God that wants to speak to you. Not in chaos or confusion, but in quiet reflection and in Sabbath rest. And you can invite the Holy Spirit to give you His ideas. So when you wake up in the morning, realizing that today's a new day, and that His mercies are new, and that His grace is for me, I need you to set your mind to go into training. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. Daily reestablish your commitment to Christ. Choose to be His disciple. Daily acknowledge the Holy Spirit asking for better thoughts in life. You can do it in Christ. Who can save me, Paul says. Thank God. The answer is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus Christ can be in you. Come out of the grave of your own effort. Come out of the grave of your own failing. Come out of the grave of your own attempts. And come into the glorious new day with Christ. You can do it. Because Christ is in you. Make sure you have that step down first. Pray together. Lord Jesus, during this time of singing, may we celebrate the fact that we are in no way under condemnation. May we celebrate that in Christ we have a new source of power that helps us on the journey. Help us today to choose to be disciples. Not because we drift into it, but because we intentionally choose to practice it. In your great name, amen.